Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message went out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God was becoming known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves record what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the work that you did in the Thessalonian Christians all those years ago that we can read of here in the scriptures. Please, this morning, might you be growing us in our faith, in our love, in our hope, through what we've read here and what we continue to think about together now, by the power of your Holy Spirit and for Jesus' glory. Amen. Well, I love Simeon and Anna, who you'll find in the next bit of Luke chapter 2. They're a couple of the hidden heroes of the Bible. People who don't appear for long. You know, it's a real kind of walk on part, isn't it? And it kind of literally is for Simeon, because he sort of toddles off and dies pretty soon after he appears. But such a vital role to play. But I particularly love Simeon because he's an amazing, along with Anna, an extraordinary example of faith and faithfulness. But actually from a Christian experience, his experience of coming to know the Lord Jesus is kind of a bit topsy-turvy as well. He's a bit of an oddity in that sense. He's pretty unique because of where he comes in the Bible story. But there he is in our passage, waiting, believing, hoping, because he's been told by God, the Holy Spirit has spoken to him in some way, that he will not die until he has seen the Messiah, the long-awaited one that the Old Testament scriptures had prophesied about and pointed towards. And here it happens, doesn't it? The baby Jesus, 8 days old, taken to the temple in Jerusalem by his parents to be circumcised according to the Old Testament law given to Moses all those years before. And they walk in, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, probably a bit tentatively after all that's been happening over the last few days with visits from shepherds and whatnot. And this old man walks forward to them and says, "Can I hold your baby?" Well, that would be a bit odd in today's culture. I don't know what it was like in culture back then. Maybe because it was in the temple, it was all safeguard checked and all the rest of it. I don't know. But anyway, as he takes the baby Jesus into his hands, he says those wonderful, wonderful words. "Sovereign Lord, you've promised that you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Remember, he's talking about a baby here. And yet he's talking about the fulfillment of promises, peace, salvation, revelation and glory. All his hopes come together in this baby Jesus. He's a genuine believer, isn't he? He's been a genuine believer, more of the Old Testament variety, for his whole life. In fact, Christopher Ashe, in his book on the Psalms, uses Simeon and Anna as model Old Testament believers for helping us to think through what they would have thought of the book of Psalms. He's a model believer, but he's only a Christian for a very, very short time of his life, in a way, isn't he? As he comes to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in baby form, and then soon after, it appears, dies, departs to go to be with the Lord. But it's genuine faith he's had all his life, even though he only meets Jesus at the very end of his life. But as I say, that's a bit topsy-turvy. For the rest of us who live this side of Jesus coming into the world and dying and rising again, it's the other way around, isn't it? And that's what we see in this chapter with the Thessalonian Christians. We often meet Jesus at the beginning of becoming a believer, and then enjoy knowing him by the power of his Holy Spirit all the way through our lives. How much easier it is for us than it was for Simeon. We have Jesus the whole time. He only met Jesus for a few days, maybe, of his life. But actually, being a believer isn't easy, is it? It was very hard for Simeon. It's still hard for us, isn't it? This last year, I'm sure, has been a real test of faith for Christians in our church family, across the land, across the world, as we've had to persevere, to keep going as Christians in the face of all the restrictions we've been experiencing, all the normal things we're able to do as an outworking of our faith, which we've not been able to do. And as we come to the end of this year, this is the sort of Sunday, isn't it, between Christmas and New Year, it's time to be thinking about the year past and the year ahead. How are you doing in your faith? What has this year proved about your faith and how genuine it is? That the Bible says that trials and tests come into our lives to test how genuine our faith is. Now, I wonder how you're doing. Sorry, this isn't to get at you and say you're doing rubbish. I know many in our church family have been really faithful through this year, and it's been wonderful to see fruits from the Lord in all sorts of unexpected ways, and ways maybe we've not seen before, as we've kept going through this year, walking with the Lord. All sorts of the normal helps that we have to our faith have been reduced, haven't they? The ability to meet together was taken away for a long time, and even now it's under very sort of reduced opportunities, you might say. It's shown us how vital meeting together is, how vital singing together is. I hope you've been missing not having communion, the Lord's Supper, together, and we're going to really think about how we can do that again soon in the new year, in line with all the restrictions. But actually, as we think about how we're doing in our faith, and how this year has really challenged and tested us, I think it's always good just to go back to basics, go back to the very heart of our faith. And that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 gives up an opportunity to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure if you have a faith. Maybe you're watching online and you're not sure where you stand with respect to the Lord Jesus, whether you've received him into your life like Simeon received him into his arms. Well, have a listen in. And see what Paul has to say about these Thessalonian Christians and their faith, their belief, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do things, keep the topsy-turvy theme, we're going to do things a bit backwards, but actually sort of in chronological order, in sort of time order, as it was for the Thessalonians. So we're going to think first about how they became Christians, which is largely in verses 4 to 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me read verses 4 and 5 again for us. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. Paul takes us right back to when he visited Thessalonica. You can read about it, if you like, in Acts chapter 17 and see what happened when Paul and Silas and Timothy visited the Greek city of Thessalonica. And Paul went there, and as was his normal practice, he preached the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we've been doing over this Christmas time. He preached the gospel to whoever would listen, Obviously, they had to be there physically. He didn't have online streaming and all the rest of it. But many people seem to have listened in Thessalonica. And what happened as they listened? Our gospel came to you not simply with words. It wasn't just Paul speaking. Paul did speak, and Silas and Timothy, I'm sure, spoke as well. They had to speak, like we have to speak. But it wasn't just human words, was it? God took those words by the power of the Holy Spirit and brought deep conviction in the hearts and minds of those Thessalonians. Deep conviction of all that Paul was saying. And I expect he was faithfully laying out the gospel as he always did. He spoke of the human condition, of the sin that lies within each of our hearts, that propensity to turn away from God and go our own way. And the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of these Thessalonians to show them their sin, and that before God they stood rightly condemned and convicted and headed for the judgment of his wrath. But also brought deep conviction that into that darkness, as we've already heard this morning, stepped the Lord Jesus. You shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From the wrath that we deserve, from the death that is by rights ours. Jesus, that baby handed to Simeon as an 8-day old, he could say is salvation, because that is why Jesus was here, wasn't it? And God, by his Holy Spirit, brought deep conviction into the hearts and minds of those Thessalonians to show not only their sin, but also their Saviour. That they were more sinful than they ever knew, but more loved by God in the Lord Jesus than they ever could have dreamed. And therefore they were chosen by God. Did you see that in verse 4? Chosen. Not actually just then, whenever it was in 50 AD or whenever it was Paul visited. That wasn't when he chose. Actually, we see in the scriptures chosen from before the creation of the world. God always had it in mind to save these Thessalonian Christians. And it became active then. As Paul spoke, the Holy Spirit worked in power and brought deep conviction. And they believed and knew that they were loved, verse 4. Loved by God. That most wonderful of things. Well, I wonder how you sort of measure up against those Thessalonian Christians. Whether that is something of your experience. Obviously, it wasn't Paul who told you the gospel, not directly anyway. Maybe you read the scriptures yourself, and so you sort of heard Paul speaking to you directly. Maybe it was a Christian minister or a friend or goodness knows who. Maybe it was a number of people. Maybe you can remember the exact moment when you understood and believed the gospel for the first time. Maybe it was over a period of time, like it was for me. Those details aren't really important. The question is, whether you heard human words spoken to you or you read them in the scriptures, and whether God worked by his Holy Spirit to bring that deep conviction into your heart and mind, to show you your sin and then lead you to your Saviour, so that you might know that you are chosen and loved by God. Is that your Christian history? Is that your experience? However remote it seemed, however far away it seemed in these dark days that we've lived through, do you remember that first joy of stepping into the light, of knowing the wonder of his peace, his salvation, his glory in your life? That is one of the marks, isn't it, of Christian faith. We sometimes call it being converted. Coming to know the Lord Jesus, receiving into his heart. Whatever language you use doesn't really matter. It's just a question of, did God work in that way in your heart? Because then you know what the Thessalonians knew as well. That despite those things that come into our lives, for them there was clearly suffering that they knew, and yet they experienced joy in the middle of that suffering. This appears to be even as Paul was in Thessalonica, doesn't it? In verse 6, you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. How's your joy been over recent weeks as we've experienced suffering, maybe more or less severe? Have you continued to receive that salvation into your life? Because it's not just a kind of one-off, is it, that we look back to and know, but it's a daily decision as well that we take to keep believing, to keep trusting, to keep hoping as well, as Paul talks about here in verses 9 and 10. Again, here's another way of talking about the experience of becoming a Christian that Paul gives for us. Do you see what Paul is doing here? He's basically saying this is how you became a Christian from all sorts of different angles. Not to try and catch them out, but to say, I hope one of these really resonates with you. They're all true of you, but maybe one of them just lies a little closer to your experience, because we're all different. God acts in our lives in many different ways in the specifics. And Paul is trying to give an overview of what it means to become a Christian, to encourage us to say, yes, this is you. This is what God has done in your life. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. They tell how you turned to God from idols. You were following idols, living for all sorts of weird and wonderful things in their day, the Roman and Greek gods that would have been able to be worshipped in all the temples around. Today, more sort of things like career and family and household improvements and holidays and all those things that grab our hearts and draw us into daydreaming and setting our hopes and fears on things like that, that COVID has utterly dashed and smashed over the last 10 months. Turn from those idols to God, to serve the living and true God. It's another great sign of being a Christian, isn't it? And to wait like Simeon was waiting to see the Christ. We are waiting too, not to see the Lord Jesus coming as a baby, but waiting to see his return, and maybe it'll happen in our lifetimes. I think we can be pretty sure that the Holy Spirit isn't going to indicate to any of us, because not even Jesus knew when he was returning, so none of the rest of us are going to know. But we might even see Jesus return in our own lifetime, that day that he comes to wrap up history as we know it and to rescue his people from the wrath to come, to bring us through Judgment Day into the glory of the new creation. That's what we're waiting for. Does that hope lie in your heart? Because those are the things that show we're Christians, which Paul points to in those key verses, in verses 1 to 3 that Johnny read out at the start of the service in particular. Those three hallmarks of Christian faith. Maybe you've got a piece of silver at home, maybe it's some cutlery, maybe it's sort of bowl or something like that, or a fancy sugar shaker or something. You know it's genuine silver, don't you? Because it's got a little hallmark stamped somewhere on it. That shows that it's genuine silver. Well, Christians have hallmarks stamped on them, as it were, by the Holy Spirit. And we saw them there in verse 3. We remember before our God and Father. This is Paul thinking back to when he was in Thessalonica, and maybe reports he's heard since as well. We've heard about your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is true Christianity, genuine faith. And we've seen a lot of it around over the past 10 months with all the challenges. And it's been a particular joy to see loads of it over the last few weeks. As Johnny said in the notices, it's been wonderful to see true Christianity at work in these last few weeks as we've reached out with the wonderful Christmas message, despite everything, to share the Lord Jesus. And that's what Paul focuses on for us. It is a faith that works. That public turning to God from idols works itself out in their life. It puts itself into action. It rolls up its sleeves and gets busy. Goes out onto the streets, carol singing. It invites neighbours to an online wreath-making event. It helps out in some way in the church building, putting up lights or being on hand sanitizer, whatever it is, to enable people to come safely to hear the wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really hope you've had a really frustrating 10 months in lots of ways. Supremely in the restrictions that we've had on church life. I hope that has really, really frustrated you and made you long for the new creation more than anything else. If it has, that is a wonderful sign of the Holy Spirit at work in your hearts. I hope you've been frustrated at how hard it's been to tell people the gospel. Because we've not had those opportunities just to be chatting with people in those sort of informal type ways. I hope you've been frustrated by how hard church life has been. Because these are all ways that our faith normally works itself out, that have been taken away from us. I think over the last few weeks, I've realised what a malaise I've been under for so long, because I've just not been busy enough working out my faith. Not in activism, but just in genuine Christianity. And these last few weeks has just felt a little bit more like normal, of being busy and getting up in the morning and thinking of gospel-shaped jobs to be getting on with, to be getting out there on the streets, you know, whether it's raining or not, who cares? Just get out there and do something for Jesus. Because it's been taken away from me. And actually your heart begins to shrink. It's not good for us. It's like not taking regular exercise when you're used to that. It's not healthy. I don't know what the next few months are going to hold for us. There's talks that we're going to be in another lockdown. God forbid. There are questions for us to face as a church family as to how we continue to be getting on and out there with the good news. How we keep our faith working and don't allow some of the things from last year to happen. Now don't get me wrong, I'm really appreciative of all the grateful comments that we've had of how we kept things going through last year. But it wasn't anywhere near church life, was it? I'm sure we can do better even if we go back into lockdown one way or another. Let's be praying that we would do that. Let's be working out our faith strenuously in 2021. Please pray that for me, because I need to lead us in that. And I'm lazy by nature, just like many of us are. It's easier for me just to waft around the vicarage in slippers and pyjama bottoms like it is for anyone. Pray for the staff taking the lead in that. Not that we'll burn ourselves out, that's not what I'm commending. But just that we keep active, healthy, faithful. Imagine if Simeon hadn't turned up to the temple that day. Love, a love that labours. I don't know whether this is a right distinction, because the faith and the love have lots and lots of overlap, but maybe the faith has a bit more of an outward looking aspect to it. And the love, the being loved by God and sharing that love with one another. As Jesus says, by your love all men will know that you are my disciples. The particular love that church family share for one another. And again, it's been wonderful to see how people have been seeking, striving to express that. In popping round and talking through windows and giving little notes and text messages. It's been, you know, a joy to see all the things, well, most of the things on the church family WhatsApp, pinging around backwards and forwards. Hope you've appreciated the weekly update emails and things like that. Thanks for all the appreciative comments, for thoughts for the day and all those kind of things. They're just wonderful little rays of hope in weeks, aren't they? A little cake baked here, or a card dropped off, or a flower, or a birthday remembered, whatever it might be. It's seeking to follow the shape of love that God has poured out for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That supreme demonstration of God's love. To have that motivation to be thoughtful to one another, to be thinking of each one another in those ways. It's been great to see the way home groups have evolved over the last few months. I'm sure we're going to be on Zoom still, but home groups supporting one another. And if you're not in a home group, they do offer a real tangible support of that weekly opportunity to get together and chat and pray and encourage one another. We're going to be thinking about prayer, doing the prayer course this coming term with some videos to watch. So it's hopefully a bit of an easier dynamic in some ways, a chance to chat together and to be praying together. If you'd like to join a home group, please let me know, or one of the staff, and we'll sort you in. At the moment, it's really easy because there's no physical limitations. You can have lots of people on Zoom, so there's sort of no boundaries on that front. So please let me know. It really will help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Our commitment to meeting together, to being here in the building whenever we can, and again, it's wonderful to see a pretty full. I thought we were going to be reasonably empty this morning, but it's lovely to see so many here. I'm sure many watching on at home. Let me really encourage you, if you've not been back to the building, to really think about coming and joining us. We make it as safe as we humanly can for the sake of everyone being able to come and meet together. Please do join us if you can. It really is, I think, better spiritually health-wise for us to be physically present if at all possible. Now please don't mishear that. If you can't be here for health reasons or whatever it is, then I'm not in any way condemning you. But if it is possible, even with the restrictions we have, it is wonderful to meet together in the building here Sunday by Sunday. And let's be praying as well, as we have to make decisions in coming weeks about being able to sing. I think after the Christmas experience, I'd love maybe just there to be sort of ad hoc choirs each week at the front of socially distant people who would like to sing, leading us in our singing in a safe way. If you'd be interested in being a part of that, do let me know. It's been just a bit of a jolt to go back from a lovely Christmas choir to, thankfully Jess joined in. It was just going to be me singing, which would have been awful for everyone, but wonderfully Jess has joined in. But even that, I think we can do better on the singing front within the guidelines as well. And do pray as well. I think we're going to have a week where we particularly focus on having a Lord's Supper in the new year. That's the only way I can envisage being able to do that. Probably sometime later in January we'll look to try and organise that, because again, it's just not healthy for us spiritually. I hope you've missed it. Being able to share bread and wine together as a church family safely. And finally, that hope that endures, that keeps us going through the tough times, because it's a hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means Christmas can never be cancelled. That means death and suffering and pain and COVID and isolation and fear and danger and illness and sickness and all the rest of it doesn't win. Our hope is unstoppable. It is unchangeable, because he's alive, sitting at the Father's right hand, and he's going to return one day. He is salvation. He is light. He is glory. And he is ours. And we are his. That is the only certainty we have as we go into 2021. That he will be with us every step of the way. There's nothing better I can say to you. There's no bigger promise that I can give you. I hope you know that in your heart. I hope you pray that for me. I hope you pray that for one another. That we don't move from that hope. Because it is that hope that will keep us walking faithfully with him, our Lord and Saviour, day by day. Might we just be better and better at sharing that hope with one another. Let me pray for us as we finish that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you are for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he means to us, for all that he gives us, for all that he has done for us. We praise you that we can call you Father, that we have that glorious hope that lies at the very heart of our faith, a hope that one day we will walk through the coming judgments into the new creation, because Jesus is our Saviour. That means we have that faith, that love, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Please be glowing these marks of genuine, true faith amongst us as we step into 2021. We don't know the challenges we face. We don't know how your hand will work, but we know your heart is for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that nothing can separate us from the love that you have poured into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. So please build us and sustain us in this, and help us to encourage one another. If we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.